Good morning. It has been drawn to my attention that many of us are struggling with the age-old concept, how could these terrible things happen on earth if there was a God? How could God allow this to happen? And the answer that has come over many years is a startling one. And that answer is, there is no God on earth. And that's somewhat disconcerting, because that means we're alone. But how can that be if the truth is that God is omnipresent? How can God be omnipresent and an earthquake kill 30,000 people? How can God be omnipresent and a battle rage on, killing and maiming women and children and innocents? How can God be omnipresent and an epidemic, a plague, a flu, a virus wipe out thousands, if not millions, of people? And the answer is that God is not on earth. Now, what does this mean? Is there no hope from the four horsemen? Are we doomed here? And the answer is a very specific one. Very specific. In the book, Steps to Mystical Experience, I try to go into this some when discussing the nature of prayer. But perhaps it wasn't clear enough. And this is very important. There are specific principles that we must know and apply. And if we do not know them, well, we can't apply them. And if we do not apply them, there is no God anywhere available to us. I know that in every age we have world problems that plague us. In my own youth, there were seemingly an endless stream of difficulties. There was the Cuban Missile Crisis, which had us all on the edge of our seats wondering if we were going to be vaporized. There was the production and stockpiling of nuclear weapons. There was the assassination of the president. I myself was home from school and watching television the morning that Mr. Oswald was shot in the stomach on national television. And there was the tail end of polio. And it seemed we moved right from there into the war of Vietnam, and many innocents being killed, and unmentionable things happening in some of those villages. And we moved from there into the drug culture, and the riots, and the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., and the prejudice, and a lot of inner city struggle. And so it seems that in every age, for those of us that care deeply, there is much suffering on earth. And if we care deeply, we search out a reason for this. And this is as it should be. You remember the story of Siddhartha? He was in a similar place. He lived a protected life in the castle of his father. He never really left the grounds. He had everything he needed right there. And he was protected. He did not see any suffering. Everything was harmonious and good. His every need was met. Life was a joy. Everyone was happy. And that's the way his father, his earthly father, wanted it to be for him. But one day his father went on a business trip overseas. And while he was gone, Siddhartha, curious as ever, arranged to take a trip into town. And the driver drove him down the streets. And for the first time ever, he became aware of the suffering that we're discussing. He saw a starving person. Malnourished, begging for food. And he didn't know what that was. He always had plenty of food. He thought that was the way it was everywhere. He saw orphan children, lost, abandoned, running the streets. He saw the dead body of someone that died of disease. And he almost couldn't stand it. It bothered him so much that he came back to the castle and fell into a deep, dark depression. And he decided there must be an answer. There has got to be an answer to this. What is the answer to so much suffering on earth? And he left the castle and wandered around and studied under different teachers. Until at last he gave up even the search. He just gave up. There must be no God anywhere. And sat under the Bodhi tree and went into meditation until he had an awakening that showed him the secret. And many of us feel that same despair that he felt. And in my youth, watching the events unfold, I felt the same despair. Who can you trust? Who do you turn to? We have some people telling us that these are tests, that God is testing us. I've never been able to accept that kind of a God. And so that never felt right inside. That just didn't work for me. And so I too went from teaching to teaching. But the point that I am making here is that we look around at the experiences on earth and the suffering, man's inhumanity to man, and we come to the conclusion there is no God on earth. And that is correct. Nowhere on earth is God to be found. Against that, we have the truth that God is omnipresent. There is nowhere that God isn't. And it's very important, this is a very important question. How do we join those two? How do they both make sense? What do we do about this? And that's what I want to talk about today, because this is the crux of the matter. Now, before we really get into it, I want to read something that comes from the book The Contemplative Life by Joel Goldsmith, because he hints at it here, and then we'll go into some depth. He says, "The revelation was given to me that in my conscious oneness with God, in being consciously one with my source, the good things of life were added onto me. That is, I was at one with all good, with every form of good that might ever be necessary in my experience. And so it was that this very same consciousness revealed to me that when I am consciously one with God, I am instantaneously one with all the good necessary for my experience. Therefore, I must stop taking thought about my supply, my health, or my home. I must stop taking anxious thoughts or concern for the things of this world. And I must make every effort to abide consciously in my oneness with God." The vital part and the heart of that revelation is that we are already one with God. We are already one with our life stream, or the source of our life. As a matter of fact, I and my Father are one. It is a relationship that is indivisible and indestructible. The reason that the harmonies of heaven and the blessings of divine grace do not come into our experience as they should lies in one word, and that word is consciously. Nothing can enter your life or mine except as it enters through our consciousness. In other words, you consciously brought yourself to this message. There are millions of people not reading it, and therefore not a spark of this message has entered their consciousness, and they are not even aware that anything of this sort exists. Now, what he's telling us is, God is not on earth unless God is consciously realized. You see, it takes the conscious realization of God to bring God into our experience. And unless there is one consciously realizing God, God is not there. Oh yes, God is there because God is omnipresence. But God is not there as an experience until God is consciously realized. And I had to realize that myself. I had to realize that this is going to take some work. Yes, it's beautiful to hear a spiritual message and it's wonderful to read it, and it's exciting to talk about it. But unless I have some sort of change in my consciousness, I am going to continue to suffer. Because for me, there will be no God in my life. There will be no God on earth. Even though the truth is that God is omnipresent. So let's look at exactly, precisely, specifically what we need to do to have this conscious awareness. Here is what I wrote in Steps to Mystical Experience. And pay attention to the word consciously. God is constantly available to me. And you can say this to yourself as well. God is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, right in the middle of the Gobi Desert. But I will die out there in the middle of the desert of exhaustion or heat stroke unless I am aware of that presence. Once that presence has entered my consciousness, that presence is there with me, and something happens, and I'm safe. I don't know what it is. It's different every time and different for different people. But that it does happen, I do know. Just as buying an automobile placed the awareness of that model in my consciousness and I became aware of it everywhere, so meditation, allowing that presence into my consciousness, brings the awareness of it into my experience. So if I want answered prayer, if I want God's presence, then I must let that presence into my consciousness. The conscious awareness of God's presence is answered prayer. So you see, the key is the conscious awareness of the living presence. Having that presence in your consciousness demonstrates the awareness of it everywhere. You see, this is an internal job. There is some work to do within. And we are told, know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But unless we know the truth, we will not be set free. And this knowing of the truth is a conscious experience. Now, let's take a moment here and become still, become receptive, and listen. God is omnipresent. There is no place where God does not exist. But to experience that in and as my life, I must have the conscious awareness of that presence. And the conscious awareness of God is not a thought. Thinking about these things, contemplating these things, yes, that's a step in the right direction, but that's not enough. We must have a deeper experience than that. And so, thoughts about God is not the same as conscious awareness of the presence. And remember, we are told that 10,000 will fall at thy right hand and 1,000 at thy left, but it will not come nigh thy dwelling if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the secret place of the Most High is the conscious awareness of God everywhere. And so that's the secret. That's the missing piece. Now, how do we do that? It is an experience that takes place within. And it takes place within at a moment ye think not. The conscious awareness of God happens during meditation when we become still and when we become silent. We take a scripture, any scripture from any spiritual writing. We might take, be still and know that I am God. We might take, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Or we could take, I come at a moment ye think not. And we take that within, and we look at it. I come at a moment ye think not. Now I know the religious world has told me that I need to be on my best behavior because I never know when Jesus is coming back. I may be caught off guard. I may be caught doing something not so good. But that's an external thing. And I have learned that every one of these truth sayings, every one of these truths that came forth from that Christ consciousness is talking about an inner experience. And so now I look at this in a different way. What does this mean as an inner experience? I come, well, I, of course, is God. So God comes at a moment ye think not. I, God, come. I, God, happens to me at a moment I stop thinking. God happens to me in a moment that I am still. God happens to me in quietness and confidence. And so I must be still. And I take a breath and I let it out. And I am quiet with an attitude of expectancy. God happens and I speak, Father, my Son heareth, and I listen. And I may feel in the presence, I may have a sudden understanding about something. I may receive guidance, direction. I may just have a quick, short breath. There is a release as if letting go. And I feel something else is moving in my life. And I know, I recognize now, this is God on the field. God is happening. In a moment, I think not. Thank you, Father, that I am able to recognize consciously that you are here. And I open my eyes and I go about my business. Now, this experience, this meditation, does not happen when we first start out. In the beginning, we don't have this release. This takes practice. It doesn't take a lot of practice. It may only be a couple of few months. But if we are persistent and we continue to practice going within, we will have that experience of a conscious awareness of God. And now let me explain something here. There's a couple of words that are very, very significant. Because this inner experience comes as a feeling, a sensing, an inner quickening. There's a faculty within us that senses this presence of God. And it is outside of our thinking. The thinking is still. But there is what I call a soul faculty that discerns the Spirit of God moving through us. And this sensing, this feeling, is more like intuition. There's an impression and we feel it. And this is conscious awareness. It's an awareness, it's not a thought. We become aware of a presence. And this awareness of a presence makes the presence real in our life. And nothing else will do it. And so in the beginning, it takes effort. Very much so. The conscious awareness of God will not come to us if we are just coasting. It will not come to us just listening or reading a spiritual message. Yes, there are times when the message we are hearing lifts us to the point where we feel something. But if we want to make this our own conscious awareness, then we have to do likewise, go and do likewise. We have to take these principles that are being revealed and practice them. And so it really is a two-pronged approach. We must contemplate these principles throughout the day, but more than that, we must have these meditations where we practice allowing our soul faculties to come into play, where we begin to have a conscious awareness of God. That is why a person that is practicing these principles can be in the middle of a battlefield, in the middle, and 10,000 will fall at his right hand, and 1,000 at his left. Because what we experience as our life is what we are consciously aware of. And if you're not consciously aware of the omnipresence of God, then you're going to experience the same thing that the rest of the world does. Sometimes good and sometimes evil. But it is not up to the world. It's up to you. It's up to me. I myself must consciously know these principles. And as I said, this takes effort. In the beginning, I forgot more than I remembered. And so I tried to make a game out of it. I worked in a factory that had a large clock on the wall. And I tried to remember once an hour, something simple like God is, or thy grace is my sufficiency, or this is your life, you live it. Something. I tried to remember, take a deep breath and remember, thy will be done, once an hour. And in that way, I was training my mind to stop focusing on the pictures of sense, and to start dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And then I needed to add meditation in the morning. At lunch break, I would go out to my car and have about 5 minutes meditation. And then in the evening, before falling asleep. And I did this for years. You see, in the West, where we have instant food, and instant money, and instant winners, instant communication, we have come to feel that that is how our spiritual growth should be. It should be instant. So we hear a spiritual message, and we do not understand why we do not get this. It felt so good while we were hearing it. But in the East, they know and have known for centuries that spiritual awareness, having a conscious awareness of a spiritual principle, takes time. The students used to come to their guru and live with him or her for 7 years or more, because they knew that it would take time. And so that's what I'm trying to explain today. This will take time. We cannot go from having our attention focused on the without and being caught up in the drama of good and evil to having the conscious awareness of the living presence of God wherever I am in one experience. It will take effort. It will take work. It will take practice. It will take being in fellowship with others that are doing the same thing. It will take asking questions about our progress. All of this is what it takes to come into the conscious awareness of omnipresence. Now, once we begin to have that conscious awareness, it comes in our meditation, and oh, we're so excited. It happened. It finally happened. And then perhaps it doesn't come again for a little while. And then it happens again. Wow, another experience. Conscious awareness of the living God. Look, Christ worked in my life. And then it comes again and again. And eventually, if we are persistent in this practice, the conscious awareness of the living God will begin to live itself. Like just this second, that presence announced itself. I'm feeling it right now. And so, you see, it has a life of its own, and it begins to manifest itself. It begins to make itself known. Because we have developed, this is an important word, developed a conscious awareness. We have developed our soul faculty. We have developed an opening, a channel. Now when we go out into the world, not only do these experiences not come nigh our dwelling place, but we are beginning to be able to help others to this awareness. There is a reason why we are told 10 righteous souls can save a city. Because 10 righteous souls means 10 people with the conscious awareness of the living presence. 10 people with the conscious awareness of the living presence can save a city. A whole city can be saved. Now that doesn't mean that the whole city will have a conscious awareness. They can go and sin again. But it means that a plague, a pestilence, a catastrophe, an accident can be avoided for a whole city. Even war can be avoided. Yes, war can be avoided if 10 righteous souls are consciously knowing the truth. If you had 10 righteous souls, 10 souls knowing conscious awareness of the omnipresence of God sitting in the center of Baghdad, that war would dissolve. I do not know how any more than you know how, but that it would dissolve, I know, because 10 people consciously knowing this truth would outpicture this truth. You see, we live in our own consciousness, and we outpicture the truth that we are knowing. And if we are not knowing the truth consciously, then we outpicture what the rest of the world outpictures, sometimes good, sometimes evil. It's not our good, it's not our evil. These are, you might call them, world thoughts. These are the collective thoughts over the centuries. And they're just floating out there. And unless we're consciously knowing the truth, then we are channels for this world thought. And so sometimes we experience good, sometimes we experience evil. But if we are consciously aware, we are having the conscious awareness of the omnipresence, the omniscience, and the omnipotence of God, then that is what we have pictured. That is what we live in. We live and move and have our being in our own state of consciousness. So do you see, those of us who had the feeling that God is not on earth, we were right. God is not on earth unless God is consciously realized right there. That is why if you had a problem and you needed healing, I am pretty sure that if you had the choice of any healers throughout all time, you would pick Christ Jesus. Why? Because we know that he had the conscious awareness of the living presence of God in greater depth than any other being we have knowledge of. And so we would go to him. After him, we would pick someone else, and so on down the line. But we would go with the one that has the greatest consciousness of the living presence of God. So it's not the presence of God, is it? The presence of God is available everywhere. It's not up to the presence of God. It's up to you, it's up to me, to make this inner change in our consciousness, to become consciously aware of that presence. This is what heals. This is what stops the plague in its path. This even stops storms. 10 righteous souls in any city can save the city. Now, I hope that I have made it clear that this is a conscious awareness, that this is an inner experience, that this work must be done no matter how long it takes if we are to bring God into our own living experience. If we are to outpicture God in our earthly life, then we must consciously know the truth. And that's not up to God. That's up to us. Ye must know the truth. Then the truth will set you free. Now, let us take a moment and relax. We are told that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Let us suppose that we are faced with a epidemic of flu. Now, what are we going to do about this? There are people all over this town contracting the disease, the virus. Oh my goodness. So you see, the human mind is caught up in the drama. But now I know that if, now listen very carefully, I know that if I can attain the conscious awareness of the presence of God right here, that none of that will come nigh my dwelling place. I know that if I touch the hem of His robe, if I can make contact and just touch the outer edge of this conscious awareness, then the problem is dissolved. And so I need not pick up the sword. I do not have to go out there and physically battle this thing, this appearance. I do not have to try to fight it. And I do not have to mentally pick up the sword either. That's not what's required here. It's never required that I pick up a lot of truths and throw them at it, or affirmations or denials. I do not have to pick up the sword physically. I do not have to pick up the sword mentally. What is necessary is to have a conscious awareness of the living God, of its presence here where I am. And so I'm going to go within now and do that. God is omnipresent. God is everywhere present. There is no place where God is not. God is omnipotent. All power. And God does not battle anything. God uses its power to maintain and sustain its life. And so God is omnipotent, maintaining itself unto eternity. God is omniscient, all-knowing. Do I need to instruct God as to what I think I need? No. God knows how to be God. I'm going to let God be God by me still. And so I rest. I relax. God is God. God knows how to be God. And this picture, there is no person, there is no condition in God. In God, there is only God. And so this picture must be an impersonal world thought presenting itself to me. But I do not accept it. All things were made by God, and nothing that was not made was made by God. So, this picture is one of those universal world thoughts. And God did not make it. God did not make it, or it would be eternal. And we already know it comes and goes. And so I can take this impersonal picture, which has no power, no God presence, no God law, and I drop it. It's nothing. It's nothingness. Now, God, omnipresent, reveal yourself where this picture has been. Reveal your presence. I rest here. I rest. Thou knowest my need before I do. And my need is only for the conscious awareness of your presence. God announces itself. In the moment, I think not. God is. So, let me rest. Let me be receptive. Spirit, fulfill thyself as I listen. And if I feel that inner stirring, I may stay with it for a while longer. But it is enough. I have touched the conscious awareness of the presence of God. And so now I can open my eyes, go about my business, and live and move and have my being in the presence of God. And this picture, whatever it was I was so worried about, will not come nigh my dwelling place. If an hour or two or four or eight pass, and I am still concerned, I can return again. Because the answer is always the conscious awareness of God. When God speaks, when God moves in us, and we have that conscious awareness, that is the answer, always and forever. The conscious awareness of God. When God speaks, the earth melts. The earth of troubles, the earth of pandemics, the earth of epidemics, the earth of natural catastrophes melts. And instead of moving in that world, we live and move and have our being in His presence. And His presence moves through us, and we are one. Do you see? Does this make it plain? There is no God on earth until you consciously become aware of it. And in your conscious awareness, God out pictures on earth. Now, we cannot do this for everyone. We cannot perhaps do this for our family. We cannot do this for our immediate friends. But we can do this for ourselves. Now, that may sound selfish, but everyone has to live by their own state and stage of consciousness. And we have to live by our own. And if we live in this conscious awareness, then more and more we will live in the presence of God. And we'll have the experience of finding that the inharmonies fall away at our approach. Because now it's not a human being. It's God in us and through us. And God dissolves those pictures of sense. So, make it your business. If you're just starting out, know that it's going to take some time. It's going to take a few months until your first experience. And then maybe a few weeks before your next one. And then on and on, but it will come closer and closer together until you have a constant conscious awareness of God. Now, know that it'll take some time. And if you've been in this work for a while, well, you don't really need me to tell you that this is what it takes because you're already experiencing it. But do know that it will reach the place where it will take over and you will start having the conscious awareness even while you're walking around, driving a car, cooking dinner, or at a board meeting. And to those of you who are advanced in this work and have been doing it for quite some time, let's join together and be those 10 righteous souls. Let's see if we can't have the conscious awareness of the living God right where the epidemic is supposed to be, right where the storm is supposed to be, right where the unrest is supposed to be. Let's be a part of the circle of Christ consciousness, the conscious awareness of Christ itself on earth as it is in heaven. Because truly, you know heaven and earth are one. And that one is God consciousness, consciously realized. Thank you.